evening. Good evening. Welcome to North Gainesville Baptist Church. I even have a sign right in front of me to remind me, of what the name of the church is. That's right. I do not go astray. I don't want to go south. Stay north. So let's stand up and sing this evening. Hymn number 178, Footprints of Jesus. Hymn number 178. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last of hymn number 178. Here we go.
Sweetly, Lord, we have heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where the footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathways glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains seeking his sheep, or along by Shalom's mountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Verse 4.
Then at last when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus in at his throne. Footprints of Jesus make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you that we can follow the footsteps of Jesus. We falter, we fail, but we thank you, Lord. The Bible tells us a good man falls down 7 times and rises up again. We're so thankful, Lord, that we fail, that you, God, you forgive us of our sins, and you help us, you strengthen us, you guide us, Lord, and direct us in our lives. We pray, Lord, tonight, God, as we look to your word, God, that you'd help us to grow in our relationship with you. We would see that word like a mirror in areas in our life that need to change or need to strengthen. You'd help us, Lord, to choose to do those things. Lord, we thank you for just how blessed we are, God, to have the opportunity to be on a Sunday night and here in Gainesville, to be able to have a service, Lord, to have this church, folks in the church wanting to be here to sing and to hear preaching. And, Lord, we just thank you for all these things. I pray you'd be with Travis and Caitlin tonight, God, that you would just continue to help them, Lord, and just pray for this the little one, God, that you protect the baby, God, and you'd be with the doctors, the surgeons, Lord. I pray for my wife tomorrow, God, that you would just be with the procedure, Lord, that everything would go well, that she'd be able to get in a timely fashion, and God, that you would just work in all the situation there. We thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. Bless tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated. Remind you just of a couple things. Don't forget tonight after church, we will have a brief, Brother Pete mentions to me, a brief quarterly financial update. Won't take very long. And then after that, we will have the vote on the update to the wording of our church covenant. So please stay around, members of the church, for that. There will be no Monday morning breakfast because I mentioned we'll be going tomorrow morning for my wife's procedure. So we decided to cancel breakfast tomorrow morning. This coming Wednesday, thankfully, we get to have the Saunders family, Brother Nathan Saunders and his wife and 3 children. They were with us before, about 2 or 3 years ago. And they'll bring a camper in the back a couple of days, and he'll be preaching Wednesday night. The family will be singing, so we look forward to that. May 4th, ladies, don't forget the mother-daughter luncheon coming up at 11 a.m. in Fellowship Hall. Hope you're a part of that. May 5th, next Sunday night, Brother Graham Young, missionary to Nigeria, Africa, he'll be with us, and looking forward to hearing from him on his first trip back and what God has been doing in and through their ministry. May the 11th, we'll have churchwide visitation, Sunday the 26th, that morning. For Sunday school and church, we'll have West Coast Baptist College, Mark Rasmussen, Vice President of West Coast Baptist College. He'll be preaching, teaching that morning. They have a trio, they'll be singing, so looking forward to them. As I mentioned this morning, we're down to about $350 or so to our faith promise, and still praying that all that comes in. If you have not given towards missions, of course, we encourage you to do so. We'll be getting an update on that. So basically, just take this, as I've said before, just take this little brochure. It's back there in the foyer. We have some on the back table. And then you keep the part that you're going to keep to remind yourself of what you're going to give. And then put this in the offering, whatever the Lord leads on your heart. And we'd love to be able to support all our missionaries. And thank God for the opportunity we have to support missions. I believe that is why this church is still in existence, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached here in Gainesville, but throughout the entire world, and we're thankful for that opportunity. All right, let's sing another song. Let's stand up and sing hymn number 429 tonight, hymn number 429, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. Hymn number 429, let's sing the first and last stanzas of hymn number 429.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see the banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Last verse. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with it your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This true countless ages then an angel sing. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. Cross of Jesus going on before.
Let's fellowship with one another. Thank you. Amen. Find your seat if you would. Find your seat after sweet fellowship. Let's turn for our hymn books to hymn number 427 tonight. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing his least of his favor. Keep it the way clear, let nothing between. Wonderful song. We often sing at invitation time, but a good song, good hymn that's very good for us to sing from time to time. Nothing between. Hymn number 427. Let's sing the first, the third, and the last. The first, the third, and the last. Hymn number 427.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world, believes in dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Let it be blessed, it face may be seen. Nothing preventing the soul of his favor. Keep the way clear, that nothing between.
Verse 3.
Nothing between my pride or station, self or friends shall not intervene. Not in the cost be much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing between. Nothing between Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, lest nothing between.
And the last.
Nothing between the final trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last with nothing between. Between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing, least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Brother Joe, would you pray for our tithes and offerings this evening? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Just a closer walk with thee. Thank you, Miss Robin. You have your Bibles with you this evening. Turn to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. As we're going through the book of Joshua here on Sunday night. Of course, Sunday morning we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. Wednesday night we're going through the book of Nehemiah. And thankful to be able to go through the Word of God as books of the Bible. It's written in books. And I think it's important that we get the big picture of what's going on in this time of Joshua and the children of Israel. Of course, we've been talking about how they had a mighty conquest of the land of Canaan. They entered into the Canaan land. They went over the Jordan River eventually. And they attacked, of course, Jericho first, triumphant in a miraculous, unusual way to defeat Jericho. Then it went against Ai. And, of course, we looked at the fact that they went in without prayer. We went in with overconfidence. And anytime we go in the Christian life with prayerlessness and overconfidence, we are doomed to fail. And that's why it's a dangerous thing. And then, of course, God humbled them and they defeated Ai. And then they get tricked. Again, they find themselves, you know, kind of like a yo-yo situation. They do good and they do bad. Do it remind you of anything in life? Do you have that same things in life? Things are going so well for you, then they kind of go south. Then things are going well, then things go south. Same thing happening in Joshua's life. He's seeking God, things go well. When he's not seeking God, things do not go well. And again, instead of asking God for help, the Bible actually tells us he didn't seek counsel of the Lord. He didn't pray about it. He just went in. As the old saying goes, fools rush in. He went in without any counsel, and he accepted a covenant with the Gibeonites, who basically tricked them into service. But even in being tricked, he kept his words and defeated the five kings that we find in Joshua chapter 10. So he defeated, at this point, Jericho, Ai, Bethel, the five kings, eight different cities, and we go into chapter 11. Having made this covenant with the Gibeonites, though they were deceived, they recognize their great need of continuing to fight against the enemies, the Canaanites, the different ites throughout the Canaan land, because that was what God wanted them to do. And so we see this battle that continues in their life. And we're going to learn about the Christian life through seeing Joshua's opposition. Let's look at the first couple of verses here, chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. It says, "It came to pass when Jabin, the king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he went to Joab, the king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ashaph, and to the kings that were the north of the mountains of the plain, south of Kinneroth, in the valley, and the borders of Doron in the west, to the Canaanite on the east and the west, and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite in the mountains, to the Havite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, and they and all the hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. When all the kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom and fight against Israel. The Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them out of this, them up all slain before Israel, and thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Lord, we just give you this time. We give it to you. We thank you for this opportunity once again. Give us ears to hear tonight. Help us, Lord, to apply the truths from the life of Joshua and Israel to our own personal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What can we learn from Joshua and the Israelites? Well, first of all, the burden of life is as long as we are in this mortal body, and we will be assaulted by spiritual enemies. In this life, dear friend, there is no ultimate rest. Oh, there's respites. There's times of maybe vacation, times of relaxation. But spiritually speaking, there isn't rest. Physically, there's rest. It may take times of rest, and that needs to be. But spiritually speaking, as long as we're in this mortal frame, we're in battle against the enemies. We have three enemies we've talked about at length: the flesh, the world, and the devil, and we're constantly at battle with them. I'm reminded here, Joshua has defeated several cities already, but he has more to go. And so is in the Christian life. We're always fighting against that old sin nature. We're always fighting against the temptations of the devil. We're always fighting against the world. It is very interesting, the definitions of these different cities or people that are trying to conquer. They're trying to conquer. Jabin, it means discerning or reasoning. It's a picture of humanistic reasoning of this world. Humanistic reasoning is all over TV and internet. Everywhere you go, you have humanistic reasoning. Basically, the basic humanistic reasoning is that man is God. That man is God.
that man is in control of everything, and everything in this world exists for man. But dear friend, that's totally opposite for Christianity. It's not about us. It's about him. But if you watch a whole lot of TV, it's about me, mine, what I have, my things, my life. Everything's about me, my dreams, my plans, my goals. Everything's about the humanistic reasoning, which is opposite of Christian biblical thinking. And so that's why you have to be careful about what you read, about what you're listening to, because that false teaching is in every area of life. It is full in our educational system. There was a time, once upon a time, long, long time ago, they actually taught the Bible in schools. Some of you folks remember that. Now the Bible, if it's talked about at all, it's referenced as a myth. It's a myth. It's not truth anymore. Hazor, the word means castle, surrounded, half-hearted, divided. Jabin was linked with this false security. Human reasoning causes men to put their security, their castle, in things. We put security in money, in people, in abilities, in heritage, ourself. But really, is there any security in any of those things? When you die, does it make money? How much money you have, does it? When you die, does it make a difference how many friends you have? When you die, does it make a difference how many possessions you have? Everyone dies. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is the common denominator among all men. That's why security cannot be in things, in stuff. They will fail you. The richest man in the world will die and leave all his riches to someone else. No, there's no security in things. Jobin means noise or shout. Madon means contention or strife. It isn't that the world that we live in? Contention and strife all around us? The king of Shimron, the world means the keeping of the law. This is a picture of the spirit of legalism. Oh, that's very careful. We got to be very careful about that. Remember, that's what Jesus taught against. His biggest struggle, if you read the Gospels, as we talked about when we went through the book of Mark, was not against the person that was struggling with sin, not the woman at the well, not the demon-possessed person. His biggest struggle was against religious Pharisees that wanted to add to the law that was already written. There were 613 laws already in the Old Testament. They wanted to add to it. They thought that by keeping the law, there would be salvation. But dear friend, you can keep the law all day long and still not be saved. They thought they could be saved by keeping the law. We have to be careful about legalism even in our day today. Legalism cannot save you. Keeping rules and regulations can't save you. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. King of Ashazoth means enchantment of sorcery. The power of Satan works to blind, deceive men, to human reasoning, false security, double-mindedness, contention, strife, legalism. Of course, Satan blinds the minds of men. So if we're going to be victorious in the Christian life, we have to realize that victory involves conflict in conquering Satan, temptation, sin, and self. So first of all, one of the applications we see here is the burden of life we have in this mortal body as long as we live. There are future spiritual battles that we must face. We can never get to the place in this life where we can say, I've made it. I've got to the end of it. No. As long as we live, there's going to be spiritual battles. But secondly, the blessing of life is God's assurance of Him being with us through life. Yes, there's future battles in life until we die, until we meet Jesus or the rapture of the church. But in those battles, God is with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't quit on us. We see this in verse 7, verse 6 again. The Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel, and thou shalt hew the horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came with them, and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. The Lord was with them. Just like God had been with Moses, now God was with Joshua. Isn't it good that you and I can stand on great men and women of faith of yesteryear? And the God that was with the great men of the past in our country is the same God that's with us. The people who started this church back towards closer to the University of Florida near 34 years ago, thank God for them. Thank God for their faithfulness. And Pastor Chandler, Pastor Bells, Pastor Manning, but the same God that was with them is the same God as with us. He guides us. He helps us. He strengthens us. God gave the children of Israel promises that we see in Exodus chapter 23 and verses 20 through 33 that his angel would go before them in battle, that there'd be no sickness among them, their herds and their flocks would flourish. He told them there would be an unnerving fear of the Lord that would come upon their enemies. In panic, their foes would turn their backs and flee before Israel. Swarms of hornets would attack their occupants. The tribes of the land would be cut off over a period of time. And Israel's condition for success was clear. He made promises to them. And dear friend, he makes promises to us. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That he has a place that he's preparing for us. That he is coming back for us in the rapture of the church. That once we're saved through our sin because we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are paid for. Not by anything that we've done, but only because of what Christ has done. We have those special promises that I talked about this morning that should be so precious to all of us. And Joshua, just like Moses, trusted God's promises, just like we should trust God's promises. We must always be ready to accept any challenge given to us by the Lord. Us, in the land of severed relationships, we need to realize the importance of restoring forgiving others. In the land of sinful habits, we need to remember the importance of repenting and forsaking those sins. In the land of selfish attitudes, we need to refocus our fervor on meeting the needs of others. In the land of scripture and service for Christ, we need to research the word and put it into practice in our life. In the land of social pressure, we need to remain firm for the Lord and stand up for Him. Paul put it this way, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know." I love that. For as much as you know, not possible, not guess at it, but for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for Jesus Christ, dear friend, is going to matter for all eternity. It's going to matter. That's why we should live our life in everything we do as unto the Lord. And whatever profession you are in, whatever God allows you to do with your hands or your feet or your mouth, with your brain that he's given you, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Men come and go, but do your best unto the Lord, pleasing unto the Lord. And if we fail, recognize your failures and ask for forgiveness. And by the grace of God, learn where you failed and continue on. Oh, Christians, we must realize that Joshua, the victory not only involves conflict, but confidence in the person of God, the promise of God, and the power of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. So we see the burden of life is as long as we're in this mortal body. Secondly, the blessing of life is knowing that God is with us through this life. But thirdly, victory comes from following the Lord's plan. Victory comes by following the Lord's plan, not our own plan. Look at verse 7 again. So Joshua came with all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon him. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon, unto Meresh Forothamrim, unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and smote them until they left them nothing remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at the time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. And for Hazor before time was the head of all the kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. He burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities that were of the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength. Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that Joshua burned. And all the spoil of the cities and the cattle and children of Israel took for prey for themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they destroyed them. Neither left any of them breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. So did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses. Victory comes through following the Lord's plan. You see, first of all, Joshua didn't wait for the battle to come to him. He didn't wait and say, well, you know what, I think I'll just wait this thing out, think about it. No, he did exactly as the Lord said. He went out and do it. A lot of times we wait. And when there's a time to wait on the Lord, definitely. There's a time with God's direction that we do exactly what He wants us to do when He wants us to do it. You see, obedience is doing what you're told when you're told with the right heart attitude. So it's not just important what you do, it's important when you do it. So what did Joshua do? He didn't say, well, you tell you what, let me get a council of people. Let me get a show of hands of who wants to actually go into battle and do this. He probably would never, if he had a show of hands, he may have never done anything. He just went on and obeyed God. Miriam was about a 5-day trip, so Joshua marches to the battle. He launches a surprise attack upon the enemy, and the Lord delivers the enemy in his hands. No one was left based upon God's instructions. The Lord knew the corrupting influence of the Canaanites. He completely defeated these people. Not only did he not wait on the battle to come to him, secondly, Joshua hewed the horses and burnt the chariots. The word hew means to hamstring the horses. He defeated the ability of the animals, the horses, to actually perform their duties of working. The horse is hamstrung when the leg tendons of sinews behind the hoof are cut. So they had lost their ability to do what they needed to do. You know, oftentimes we think about other opportunities in life, and sometimes we are need to be patient at what God is doing. But he went ahead and did exactly what God had to do and did these things against the horses. And not only that, he burnt the chariots. Why did he burn the chariots? Because God didn't want Joshua trusting in anything, not the horses, not the chariots, but him himself. And we might think to ourselves, well, you know what, I think I'll keep some chariots, or I think I'll keep some horses. But dear friend, that would have been human reasoning. And whenever we start the human reasoning thing and start figuring things out for ourselves, that's when we fail. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord our God. The Bible says in Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. And horsemen, because they're very strong, they look not to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. The question is what we put our trust in. It's easy to trust in what we see. Oh man, there's some horses there. Hey, let's don't destroy those horses. Let's keep a few for ourselves. Hey, there's some chariots over there. We can't even make chariots. Let's keep a few for themselves. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That sounds right, doesn't it? But is it what God wants? Or is it what we want? It's like the person who says, you know, I can't afford to tithe. Man, I just got all these bills. And I can't afford to give money to God, much less give money to missions. But dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford to do what God wants you to do. You say, well, that don't make sense. If I give 10% of my gross to God, how am I going to have more? Because God's going to bless your life. Because God's going to do things in and through your life that you can't even imagine. But you say, preacher, I can't see it. That's where faith comes in, friend. That's where faith comes in. That's where you trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hey, the best thing you do in your life, the easiest thing in life to do is just go ahead and give that gross 10%. And if you really want to be blessed, give to what God wants to be given to. Because I can't think of much more that God wants to be given to than the salvation of men and women throughout the world. You say, do I give to get a blessing? No, I don't give to get a blessing. I give because I know it's what God wants. And because of that, he's going to bless. Oh, dear friend, you can't see it. We can't often see it in life. We need to trust him. See, Hazor and the people were totally destroyed and burnt. It was the largest city of the ancient Palestine with over 200 acres. Jericho only had 8, and Megiddo only had 14 acres. Israel would make an example of Hazor breaking the backbone of the federation. So you know what we have to do? We have to obey God the way he wants to be obeyed. Again, not human reasoning. Does it make sense? Can I calculate it? No. What does God say? And exactly what God says, that's how we're supposed to live our Christian life. So the burden of life is, as long as we have this mortal body, the blessing of life is God's assurance of him being with us through life. Victory comes through following the Lord's plan, not following our own plan. And the testimony of God comes from obedience of the life. Look at verse 15 again. And the Lord God commanded Moses, his servant. So did Moses command Joshua. So did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded him, commanded Moses. Wow. What a testimony. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses. Wow. He did exactly what God told him to do. He didn't leave anything out. Now, throughout history, we've seen people who did not have the same testimony. We think about Samuel. Remember Samuel? In 1 Samuel, Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And, man, he had it all. He was tall. He was a great leader. He was a Benjamite. It was at the very beginning, he was humble. And God was using him and blessing him in a great way. Even though God originally didn't want Israel to have a king. Remember, finally God said to Samuel, let them have a king. And they had a king. But eventually Samuel started reading the newspaper what they were saying about him. You see, he started thinking that he deserved to be the king. And he started acting not like the humble Saul that he was, but he started believing what people said about him. The Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 22, that he advised the people to, instead of destroying all the Amalekites, to keep the king of Amalek and keep some of the sheep. And so later, what happened? Doeg had to slew the priestly city of Nob. All because this king wouldn't do exactly what he wanted him to do. Saul spared wicked King Hagag and then pursued righteous David in order to kill him. Said instead of killing the person he should have destroyed, he went out and sought after David. Ultimately tried to defeat David, who was a righteous person. And Saul's compassion for Agag and disobedience to the Lord resulted in a person years ago that would fight against Israel. You know who that person would be? Haman. A descendant of Agag and the Amalekites. Only because Saul would not do exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to destroy all the Amalekites, the king, all the people, all the animals, but he didn't. He made excuses. It seemed reasonable. Why kill the king? Why not keep the best of the animals for ourselves? Why not do that? That seems right. Again, see, human reasoning. It looks right. It sounds right. Let's take a poll. Don't you love that? Let's see what everybody else wants. You think we should keep the king? You think we should keep the animals? Oh, that sounds right. That makes sense. Is it what God wants? You see, friend, when you have human reasoning and what God wants, you should always trust in what God wants. Because human reasoning can only get you so far. And who has the best human reasoning? Well, ultimately, what did that do? That cost him him being king. And ultimately took his life because he trusted in himself and he did not trust in God. Oh, Joshua demonstrated 6 qualities of leadership. He did not let the short-term gains deter him from long-range objectives. Don't let short-range opportunities turn your wife from the chief tasks of life. Secondly, he did not allow his errors to defeat him. Everybody's going to fail in life. Yeah, Joshua made mistakes. We just talked about it. the fact that he did not always trust the Lord. He did not always seek the Lord. But dear friends, I've seen folks make mistakes in life, make bad decisions, and they continually trip over the same bad decisions over and over and over and over. When you make a bad decision, and we all make bad decisions, learn from it. Learn from that mistake and have people around you who love you enough that when they see you make the same mistake, they say to you, "You remember what you did before? Remember that decision you made before and how you failed in that decision?" You see, that's why you keep people around you that love you and care about enough for you that they tell you the truth. And that's a true friend. A true friend tells you the truth about yourself, even willing to lose their friendship. That's what a true friend. Now, a deceiver, somebody all he wants to do is get something out of you, all they do is just flatter you. You look nice today, you look nice today, and you really don't look so nice today. But someone who loves you tells you the truth, willing to risk the relationship. Did not let short-term gains deter him from long-term objectives. He did not allow his errors to defeat him. Third, Joshua believed in God implicitly. The big difference between believing in God is when you believe God, you admit it exists, but you don't necessarily believe in what he says. It's one thing to say, I have a mental assent of God. I know he's there, but do you believe in God to the extent you would do exactly what he says? If you ask the average person, they'll say to you they believe in God. But the difference is believing in what he says to the degree that you believe in him, you trust in him, and whatever his book says, that is what I'm going to do. That's how important it is. Do you have a belief in God, or do you believe God to the extent you're willing to do whatever he wants you to do? And fourth, he believed completely. He left nothing undone, no matter how difficult it is. Oh, that's not easy to do. It's easy to trust in self. It's easy to trust in what you see. It's easy to trust in feelings. It's easy to trust in what our own plans, our own goals, our own dreams. It's easy to do that. Angie and I watched this film based on a true story called The Hill. If you've seen that. Interesting film. Based on a true story. Preacher out in Texas. Just families poor as church mice. Out there preaching to about 25, 30 folks. They get in the church. And Brother Pete, the folks there in Texas, the lady, she's spitting on the floor of tobacco. And the one old boy, he's over there smoking, and the cigarette's falling on the ground. And it just goes on and on and on, Brother Eric, to the point where the preacher has to say something to him. He just can't let it keep on going. And he says something to him, and they kick him out of the church because he just can't stand it anymore. And he has a son that his feet don't work well. They're all wrapped up. But he can hit a rock across the field. And his dream was to play baseball. But his dad's dream for Ricky Hill was to be a preacher. The young man had a phenomenal memory. Could quote the scriptures. Was obedient. His dad's dream for him was to be a preacher. So anytime the boy brought up the fact that he might want to play baseball on a team, he would say, "Son, you can't do it. Look at your legs. God's called you to be a preacher instead of a baseball player." That young man grew up, had to go to another town, found another church, and they did. That young man grew up, and guess what? He had the opportunity to play baseball, and he did. He did. Scouts came, got saw by some of the scouts, and he hit the ball out of the park. You know what the dad realized? The dad got up in front of the church on a Sunday night when his son was playing baseball across the way. He got it from the whole people, and he said, "I was wrong. I wanted my son to do what I wanted him to do. I didn't want him to do what God wanted him to do." And he went on to play for the Montreal Expos for 4 seasons. And he ended in his living today coaching young men about baseball. Oh, dear friend, in life, what are you going to do with this life that God has given you? Live it to your own way? Do your own thing? How does that make you think? Try to figure things out based on what makes sense, what's logical, what people think you should do. Oh, the best thing in the world is, dear friend, is get along with God and the Word of God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with this life that you've given me? Not my plans, not my goals, not my dreams. Die to all those things. And you know what? If you die to all those things, He'll give you better dreams. He'll give you His plans. He'll give you His goals. He'll give you His joy. Oh, I knew this guy for many years. God called him to be a youth director in a church. And he never did it. And he and I would go to camp every year. And every year this old boy would come to me and say, oh, preacher, God called me to be a youth director. But I never did it. I never did it. And I regret it. And the next year he'd say the same thing. And the next year he'd have the same thing. And this next year he'd say the same thing. And finally I said, brother, you can't focus on what happens in the past. Do what God wants you to do in the future. What does God want you to do now? What God wants you to do now. Can't change what you did 20, 30 years ago. But what does God want you to do tomorrow? Joshua did exactly what God wanted him to do. You say, preacher, man, I made so many mistakes. My plans, my goals, my dreams, they failed so many times. They may have. Don't focus on your failures in the past. What does God want you to do tomorrow on Monday? What's God want you to do tomorrow? Trust Him for tomorrow. Don't get consumed on how you failed in the past and things you've done, things you said, things you wish you'd done, things you wish you'd said, people wish you'd met, No, don't get caught up in yesterday. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What can I do? What can I do from this day on to please you with this life that I have? Let's focus on that. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for men like Joshua through the Bible, Lord, who, they weren't perfect. They had all types of issues. They were lapses of faith. They struggled at times, like we struggle at times. But they listened to you. They genuinely obeyed you. And they wanted to do right with their lives. Oh, yes, life is fraught with future enemies. They're all around us. We will battle until you take us home. But, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. When we fail you, and we often fail you, God, you don't give up on us. You don't quit us. Oh, thank you, God, you don't turn your back on us. Thank you, God, that if we follow your plan, we will be victorious in this life. And Lord, help us to follow that plan until the day we see you. Help us to trust you all the way in everything we do and say, even the small things, the minute things, help us to trust you in it. And Lord, when we fail, may we admit our failures and by the grace of God, not do the same things we did in the past. Oh, Lord, thank you for the lessons we've learned through your word this evening. I pray, God, you'd help us to not just hear these things, but to heed these things, even tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, dear friend, you don't know Christ as your Savior. The battle begins by humbling yourself and realizing you can't do this. You cannot do this on your own. It is impossible. Living your life without Christ is no life at all. That's why the best life is a life with Christ. Today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, dear friend, would you admit the fact that you're a sinner? Would you admit the fact that you can't save yourself? Would you admit the fact that you need to call on the Lord to save you? Oh, I'm so glad that the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so glad it didn't say could be saved or may be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the Lord to save you from your sins, friend? Are you trying to save yourself by being good? By doing good actions, good deeds, good works, good words? There's no salvation in that. Salvation is simply trusting Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. For Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Salvation is not in religion. Salvation is not in a church. Salvation is in a person. Do you know Jesus today? Do you have a relationship with Him? Not something you did so much in the past, but do you have a relationship right now with Him? Christian, how about you? Could it be said of you right now that You've left some things that you should be doing. There's things that you know you should be doing, but you're not doing. Joshua completed everything, the Bible says. He didn't leave anything undone. How about us? Is there things in your life that's not been finished? Things that need to be done in your life? Regrets you have? Things need to be made right? Maybe there's people you need to go to and ask forgiveness of. Maybe there's relationships in your life that need to be repaired. Maybe you need to humble yourself and ask forgiveness and for some things you've done in the past. Whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit leads you tonight, dear friend. Do exactly as He leads you. It may not seem right. You may ask a bunch of people, is it right? But is it what God leading you to do? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to do something that you need to do tonight? Would you be willing to step out on faith and simply doing it? Oh, I trust that you will. Maybe tonight say, preacher, God is leading me in my life to do, and I need wisdom, I need discernment, but I want to be obedient to whatever God wants me to do. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm willing to do. Would you pray for me by the grace of God that I'll do it exactly as the Lord wants me to do? I want to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do. That's my prayer tonight. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anybody like that tonight? Amen. 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 May not seem logical. May not to most folks even make sense. The Lord is leading me in a life, my life. He's directing me in a certain path. And I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. Anyone else tonight like that? Preacher, would you pray for me that I would do exactly what God wants me to do in my life? Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Follow the Lord. You will find victory in Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this evening. If God has spoken to your heart, the altar is open. Maybe you feel you need to make a commitment. Some of the biggest decisions I've ever made in my life is just coming down to this altar and said, Lord, I don't understand how you're leading me. Doesn't make sense to me. Why come to Florida? Why go to Bonita Springs? Why go to Gainesville? Why, Lord? I can't understand it. You may not be able to explain it yourself, but you just simply trust Him. Lord, the Lord's leading you to do something. Maybe you need to put a stake down right now tonight in your life. Come to this old altar and ask God to show you, to help you as the piano plays. Whatever God's asking you to do, just do it. Just follow Him. You can trust Him. He's never failed you. Never has, never will. Whatever path, whatever direction, whatever He wants, say, Lord, I'll do it. Wherever He leads, however He leads, wherever He leads, I'll do it. I'll go. I just want to be used of God. Be available. Be pliable. Do whatever God wants you to do tonight. Gracious Father, we're just thankful, so thankful for your care for us, your love for us. Oh, how wonderful a Father you are. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us in any area that you're showing us, any area, Lord, that needs a change. Help us to be willing to change. Any area that in life, God, that we need to do better in, to work on, oh God, help us to accept the opportunity and the responsibility to do so. Oh God, we will struggle with trials and temptations. We know that all of our life, but we're so thankful that you're with us. You care about us. You know our frame. We ask, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be victorious so your name would be glorified. Oh God, may we give everything to you and live our life in obedience to you and your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. About 5 minutes from now, members will meet for our financial update.